5.3.1. Choice and control. Choice and control was identified as an integral aspect of an adequate standard of living, as articulated under Article 19 of UNCRPD. Other articles that provide relevant commentary on access include the preamble of the Convention, together with Articles 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 17, 20, 21, 22, 23, and 28. Interviews with family/whānau and close supporters of people with complex disabilities highlighted the limited choice and control they experienced when accessing housing and accommodation for the disabled person they supported. One key example of limited choice and control was identified in relation to support services. Given that many people with multiple and complex disabilities require 24/7 care, access to home-based support services was identified as significantly impacted by a lack of choice and control. Individual funding, IF, for instance, is intended to provide disabled people with choice and control over the in-home care they receive. However, a lack of service providers and appropriate, qualified support workers meant that some families felt they had little to no choice or control over who came in and out of their home to provide support for their disabled family member. At times, they felt that this had compromised both the safety of the disabled person, as well as the wider family. A lack of local respite care was also having an impact on families and disabled family members. As a result, the ability to access services when they were needed most was very limited. A further challenge relating to choice and control was timely access to relevant information. As stated by an interviewee, begin quote, "The government only shows you the next card if you become really tired and run down and exhausted." End quote. Interview number 7. For one interviewee whose young daughter recently acquired a disability, the family were experiencing great uncertainty over where she might move to when she came to the end of her allocated funding at the rehabilitation facility. Begin quote, "We would like her to be home with her family. At the moment, there's not much choice, I think. Mostly it's private hospitals for elderly people. I think they are still figuring out where to put her." End quote. Interview number 9. A lack of accessible rental properties also meant that families often felt caught out when selling and buying a new home. One interviewee summarized their situation as, begin quote, "You effectively end up homeless because there's nowhere that you will fit that has what you need for whatever period of time that you need it between selling and buying." End quote. Interview number 11. Moreover, it was reported that current funding provisions for housing modifications only permit a single modification in a person's lifetime. While systemic analysis was beyond the scope of this monitoring research, it appears that this arrangement fails to acknowledge the possibility that disabled people may need to move house and will continue to require modifications as their needs change over time. Another factor limiting choice and control was the lack of accessible accommodation within Kāinga or US housing stock. However, families who did have access to knowledge, support and resources appeared to have greater choice and control over their disabled family members' housing and accommodation arrangements. This meant that not only were the disabled person's basic needs more likely to be met, but also their best interests, will and preference. The dependency on the 24th of July care meant that disabled family members had to either remain in the familial home into adulthood, or transition into a residential facility, that is, a much more limited choice than is afforded to the dominant non-disabled population. For those who had moved, or who were looking to move from their home into a community residential care arrangement, the transition required a significant amount of advocacy and planning by families/whānau and support people. There was a general consensus amongst the families that they felt residential facilities lacked the capacity and resources to meet the will and preferences of their disabled family members. These situations left families feeling like they had to compromise their loved ones' will and preference, or maintain the responsibility of caring for their disabled family member well into adulthood. In summary, interviewees reported that supports, Services and legislation were not responsive to the evolving needs of the people they care for, thus restricting the choice and control over their disabled families' right to access an adequate standard of living and housing.